Welcome to another episode of
Okay.
Cue up the song. Okay, tell me when.
You want to just do it in post?
You can do it in post. Yeah, stop it.
All right, three.
Everything we do in post takes hours.
Oh, you're just playing the music. Playing it. All right, fine.
Whatever. Oh, action. Whatever they say.
Long intro.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Who is Major Tom? What is going on about there? I thought we were losing contact with him. What's happening?
We will be soon. I think he was just relieving himself in his suit. He wasn't saying anything to us in particular.
Relieving it? Oh, I see. Ew.
We left our hero explorers of distant, unimportant worlds at the end of the last episode as they were attempting a daring mission to Cloaca, one of the larger moons circling Uranus. Guri was sent on a poorly planned escapade to retrieve the backup tapes for the segment of the universe in which the Meporpian explorers have been mostly trapped, humiliated, confused, demoted, scorned, spurned, turned around, thrown away.
All right, all right, all right, already. That's enough.
Digested, trapped under attack, fired upon with superior weaponry.
You've made your point. You've made your point.
And generally abused by every being around them.
Shut up!
Anyway, at the point where we left off, Guri was rapidly approaching Cloaca's surface, with only his pair of parachute pants to slow him down.
I'm really not sure this is working. And how did MC Hammer pull these off?
Probably with a better sense of rhythm and rhyme.
Rhythm and... I'm hurtling towards a painful death, or at least multiple broken tentacles here. I could use some actual help.
What's that, Guri? You're breaking up. You could use some kelp. Shipward, do we have any kelp in the space canteen? I think it's that seaweed stuff.
If you didn't put it on the shopping list, Captain, then I don't think we have any. I told you we were short on greens, but you didn't want to hear of it.
No, not kelp, you fools. Help. Help.
Sounds like gibberish to me. I think we've lost our connection with him.
He slipped under the horizon of Uranus now.
He what? He's done no such thing.
The planet, Captain. Guri's behind the planet now as we begin our slingshot orbital run.
Oh, goodness. The moon's surface is coming up very quickly here. Cloaca approaching. Parachute pants are deployed, but they're not slowing me down enough. Maybe if I turn out all of the pockets here, I'll produce some extra drag, and here we go. And, oh, what's this? A gold chip from Fan Shui. I'm rich. Oh, my tentacles. I've crushed them all, I'm sure.
I sense a great disturbance in the universe, Shipwood, as if a thousand voices just cried out all at once.
I think that was Guri crashing into Cloaca. We must have caught a bit of his signal bouncing off another moon or something.
What? Oh, well, I'm sure he's okay. Right?
Fancy meeting you here, Guri. A bit of a hard landing there, eh? Well, hey, look, a gambling chip from Fan Shui. Today's my lucky day.
No, that's mine.
What do you mean it's yours? I just found it lying in this pile of rocks.
No, it was in my pants pocket before my crash landing just now. It must have gone flying towards you when I collided with the surface.
Well, consider it payment for the help and advice I'm about to give you.
Oh, I can't feel my tentacles. Are they all broken, Farid?
Well, they're bent in all different directions, but I think tentacles are supposed to do that anyway.
Well, yes, but...
How would a doctor even know what to look for in an X-ray of a tentacle? Probably isn't even a straight bone in there at all. Then again, what do I know? I only studied a bit of dentistry after college.
So what help and advice do you plan to give me? How do you even know why I'm here? And why are you here, for that matter?
Well, for the same reason as you, I presume. I too returned from Fanshui to prehistoric times on Earth, and that's no place for a ferret, no matter how unscrupulous a character I may be.
Who's that you're talking to, Farid? And why are we still here? The kids and I are ready to go now.
What? Who's that?
Guri, this here is the wife, Farita. Farita, this is Guri, one of the two Mipoprian explorers I was telling you about.
Oh, you're the two with the podcast that's taking the universe by storm. Well, sort of. Can't say I've listened to it yet, but, well... Maybe I should have got
No, honey. It's full of gibberish mostly and nothing of interest.
Oh, well, maybe we're on the podcast right now. Oh my, how's my fur, Farid? And wouldn't that be a hoot to hear ourselves on the broadcast? I'll have to tune in. What time is it?
No, really, dear, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, yes, Farita. I'm sure you'd find it enlightening. Farid has made quite a few appearances.
Oh, he has he? All those times when he said he was running out for milk and for more vegetables from Runyon's garden.
Honey, don't be silly. It's not Runyon's garden. He's just a small boy.
Well, yes, but he's the delectable human child you promised us all off for dinner one night. Don't think I've forgotten, Farid. Only to let him slip through your clumsy ferret fingers.
And she wonders why I take any opportunity to escape. Am I right, Guri? Up top!
I can't move my tentacles just yet, Farid. Sorry to leave you hanging. But I'm still trying to regain some feeling in these tentacles.
Of course. Well, anyway, if you're looking for the backup tapes for this segment of the universe, good luck. They're all here, I assume, but they're not labeled.
Not labeled? Well, then how in the universe are we supposed to get back to our world in the proper time?
You got me, Garushi, baby. I think I was thinking of just grabbing a few and hoping we get lucky, or at least that we get out of the prehistoric period.
Yeah, but we might end up in an ice age or some even less hospitable time on Lerf.
Oh, we might end up in the summer of love, taking in the sights and sounds and feels of a society without any inhibitions, if you know what I mean. I'm down for those odds, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you are certainly a hopeless gambler, Farid.
I'm a hopeful gambler, more like it.
Yes, and your hopefulness is what makes you a hopeless... Oh, never mind. You know, I think my tentacles have recovered enough that I can hover about again. Which way to the repository of backup tapes?
Well, the repository is that way, I suppose. Say, if I'm supposing about a repository, does that make it a suppository?
I don't think so. No. Now, wait a minute. You said you've already grabbed a few tapes, and I suppose I'll just grab as many more as I can carry, and then... And then what was your plan for getting back to Lerf, Farid?
I don't know. Catch a ride on a shooting star, perhaps.
Farid, you're not making much sense right now. Are you high or something?
Well, I did sample some cloacan moon dust earlier, and I gotta say, you never seem to be a more beautiful a creature than you are right now, Guri. Really, the squiggly lines of your tentacles and the three stomachs.
I'm right here, Farid. I'm right here. part of Till Death Do Us Part of you forgetting, Farid.
Probably the us part.
Okay, Farid, just keep your distance. I'm heading to the suppository. I mean the repository, and I'll be right back. Just don't move.
I got room to move, though, haven't I? Cha-cha-cha, I'm dancing with myself like Billy Idol, aren't I?
Goodness, I'm just hovering away now. He's really embarrassing himself.
What is wrong with you, Farid? You're scaring the children, poor children.
Meanwhile, back on the Star Runner, Yuri and Shipward are engaged in a fierce debate over the greatest albums of all time.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Shipward, but the album you revere so much was actually produced on the dark side of my moon after too many steamed Kirschdorfs on planet Tortilla squeezed that whole work out in one sitting, as it were.
I refuse to believe that. I know from my own dabbling with synthesizer technology that the lustrous soundscapes of that album could only have been produced by the members of Pink Floyd, experimenting with the latest keyboard technology of their time.
Well, you can cling to your theory if you want to, but I know the smelly truth, as it were.
Captain, we should be coming back within radio signal range of Guri within the next 20 carpecs or so.
Oh, really? Well, that was pretty quick. Do you think he's had time to find the backup tapes?
Well, we never really had time to go over the details of his plan, so I'm guessing we will have to hope for the best and communicate the pickup window to Guri just as soon as we are able to reestablish contact.
Right. Wait, a pickup window? Oh, I see. He'll be rejoining us through the ship's window over by the loading bay.
No, Captain. I'm referring to the specific place and time where Guri will need to meet us if he wants a ride back to Lurf. Otherwise, he's...
left completely adrift. I see. Well, it seems like we have a little bit of time before we can communicate with Guri, so perhaps we will take care of a little business and cut to commercial now. Need to make some more dollars.
We only have 18 carpecs now until we clear the dark zone.
Oh, don't worry. I think we are basically suspended in space and time during a commercial break, aren't we? Or is that only in between episodes?
I think it's more in between episodes where the action can't advance. I could be wrong. As a former gym teacher, I never studied the ins and outs of pre-recorded dramatic production.
Well, I remember from our exhaustive and exhausting research on the flight to Lurf that when they would cut to commercial in an action-packed show like The Dukes of Hazzard or Knight Rider, often the car featured in the show would be paused mid-jump over a flaming wreck as they cut to commercial. And then, when the show resumed, sometimes we'd even return to the action at a point slightly earlier than when we left it, like we would see the car hit the ramp that was conveniently placed before the flaming wreck all over again and go airborne so that we'd be treated to the full stunt as it resumed. How magical.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So, maybe, just maybe, we'll actually go back in time a bit when we come back from commercial. It's another form of time travel, I think. Oh, now I'm eager to see what happens when we come back.
Anton Shalabernathy here from Incontinental Airlines with a little public service announcement about the birth of my beloved industry. That's right, I happen to be able to share with you, the listener, a rare recording of an interview with the famed founders of flight, the Wright brothers. Yes, on this old wax spool recording, Orville and Wilbur, two bicycle makers from Ohio, discuss how they stumbled into the field of aeronautics. Shalala, roll the tape.
Well, this is Harry P. Moore with the Scientific American, and I'm here with American founders of flight, Orville and Wilbur Wright, known to everyone as the Wright Brothers, famous for their historic flight on the beach at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Is it true you both ordered a barrel of oysters as your last meal in case you didn't survive your test flights that day?
That is true, although that could have been a mistake, as I'm not sure they sat well for Orville there.
They made me so sick.
Well, that was when we invented the little barf bag that goes in the back of the seat in front of you.
I didn't have the barf bag, so I had to use my shoe, but I didn't need my shoe after I broke my leg on one of the landings. Ouch!
Well, you won the coin toss, Orville, fair and square.
Yes, I thought we were flipping the coin to see who did not have to be the first to fly in that crazy contraption. Only a fool would...
No, you said you wanted your name in the history books, remember?
Well, how did that work out for me, huh, Wilbur? Everyone talks about the Wright brothers. It's only the Wright brothers. Nobody even remembers which one of us was actually in the plane, wetting himself in flight and throwing up into his shoe and eventually breaking his leg in a very, very painful way.
Well, speaking of historical significance, Orville and Wilbur, what do you make of the accounts from the Orient of their own inventors of flight, some of whom may have preceded you?
Well, of course, truth be told, and we can tell you the truth, right, Harry? You're a science writer for a small technical publication. Nobody reads that. Yes, we really owe a lot to Kenny and Sue Wong from the Sichuan province in China.
Oh, yes, they had opened a very good Sichuan restaurant in Cleveland, which we began to frequent once we discovered their delectable dumplings and very tender fish stew cooked in, what was it, a hot chili oil, where the fillets just, they just break apart and melt in your mouth. It's so good. Oh, I'm just getting hungry thinking about that right now.
It was good, but Harry... Ooh. Harry doesn't want to hear about Sichuan cuisine, Orville, even though it is very good, Harry. And if you're ever in Cleveland, you should look it up. Oh. Harry, you really should check it out, Harry. Harry, you with us?
It's a little too spicy, I think.
Uh-oh. Have we lost Harry? He seems to have passed out cold here.
Oh, I think you're telling of the story. It's just, I told you, it was too... Too boring. I told you when we practiced. Don't.
No. I forgot thinking one of you was named Harry, and I don't know why, because your names are very famous.
No, what did I say? The Wright brothers. They don't even really care. Wilbur or Orville. It's insignificant.
Very confusing now, and it doesn't seem that confusing. But Harry, for a moment.
I was telling you, Harry, if you're ever in Cleveland, you should check out this.
No. It's interesting background.
Yes, shut up, Wilbur, and let me tell the story. It's bad enough I have a permanently broken ankle and can never eat oysters again. At least, let me recount how we stumbled upon our invention of flight.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Orville.
So I was finishing up an extra spicy bowl of hot fish stew when...
Do it again. Here we go.
Sue Wong came up to me with extra napkins, as he saw I was resorting to using the paper placemat to stem the tides of fluids pouring out of my nose and eyes, which, of course, is a sign of a very, very good and very spicy stew. I'm sweating just thinking about it.
Indeed.
And Sue took the paper placemat out of my hands and, he made a rapid but careful series of folds, transforming it before my eyes into some sort of sleek projectile, the likes of which I had never seen before. Fantastic.
Yes, I was there too, and Orville and I could hardly believe our eyes as Sue gave the projectile just a slight push, and it lifted up into the air and flew effortlessly across the room before landing in another customer's hot and sour soup.
I spit out the tea I was drinking and exclaimed, "By the wings of Icarus, what is that?"
And that's when Kenny came out of the kitchen with another one of the paper contraptions and said, "You like, we call it paper airplane."
And we said, "A paper what?"
Right. Because of course, we didn't know what an airplane was at the time. We had only worked on bicycles to that point.
How ironic.
This is amazing. So the Wright brothers owe their inspiration for flight to two Chinese restaurant owners, Kenny and Su Wong. Were they brothers?
Oh, yes. The Wong brothers.
Well, of course, that's perfect. The Wright and Wong brothers. The headlines write themselves here.
Yes, so we examined the paper airplanes that the Wong brothers had invented, Wilbur and I, and we thought this just might work for finally getting people off the ground and into the skies.
But we would need a very big and very sturdy piece of paper, I told Orville, and probably an army to fold it.
At which point, I clocked my brother off the head with a fortune cookie and said, "No, you fool! We can make some modifications to the design. You see, the key was understanding the lift forces on the wings."
Yes. Well, the rest, as they say, is history. And Orville did convince me to stop looking for giant pieces of paper. And together we came up with the designs that met with such success at Kitty Hawk.
American newspapers have largely credited you two with the invention of flight. Would you like to take this opportunity to share some of the credit with the Wong brothers?
Well, they made a plane that could carry maybe a small group of ants from one side of a restaurant to another. We made the planes that today carry small groups of people from one city to the next. These are, well, they're very different inventions, and I promise you the Wong brothers didn't break any bones or throw up any oysters while making their discoveries.
Well, they might have thrown up some oysters. Did you ever try their seafood surprise stew?
Oh, that's true.
Well, right or wrong, I'm sure history will sort it out. That's all for now. I'm Harry P. Moore with the Scientific American, and I've been speaking with Orville and Wilbur Wright. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Oh, no problem. Wow-wee, ladies and gentlemen. What wasn't that enlightening? This stroll, or should I say flight, down memory lane was brought to you by Incontinental Airlines. Remember, when you gotta go, fly Incontinental.
I gotta go.
Captain, we should be coming back within radio signal range of Guri within the next 20 carpecs or so.
20 carpecs? Shepard, it worked! It worked! We came back from commercial and went back in time just a bit. Just like on those Lurfian television shows after a commercial break. When the action was paused, hey, if we go to another commercial, we might go back in time far enough to actually work out a real plan with Gory. Brilliant.
I doubt that will be the case, Captain.
Well, it's worth a try. Quick, let's cue another commercial. Where's that end of segment music? End of segment music.
Rikia, what did I tell you about keeping the balls inflated? It looks like Times Square on New Year's Day in here with all the half-deflated balloons and when the ball has been dropped and flattened on the ground.
Oh, it looks like the work for the New England. How do you say Patriots deflating the balls from the Tom Brady?
Hey, now, they never provided any real evidence on that one. And they took no account of Boyle's Law, which would explain why balls that are perfectly inflated in a warm locker room may deflate a bit in the cold winter air.
Ugh, Boyle's Law, less of a law than a postulate, I would say.
Usually the only complaints I get are when the balls are over-inflated, if you know what I mean.
How do you reinflate the balls, Rikia? Some of us are most curious.
Well, it is not so complicated, but it can take a little time. I do need to handle each ball. As you can see, there are so many balls and only one of me.
Yes, but we know you can handle the balls. I mean, the job very well, Rikia. Is it getting hot in here?
Perhaps you should tell our listeners about the new promotion, Zoltan. That is why we are while we are recording this commercial, right?
Commercial? Yeah. What? Oh, Dad, yes, of course. I'm sorry, I was getting distracted by our little Minsk here. But there is plenty of time to play Hide the Kremvish later.
You can meet me in the ball pit again, brother. You too, Isa.
Ach, no, we will not fall for that again, Rakia. You're a very bad girl when you cheek us before. Very bad.
Yes, yes, fool me once. Shame on you, Rakia. But fool us twice. You will not.
Yes, I think the shame was on all of us last time, me brother. There was plenty of shame. I am still very ashamed, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, fair listeners, we invite you all down to Zoltan and Issa's bottomless ball pit at the corner of Pulaski and Route 2 outside Sioux City. You will want to come now that we will have a new super special promotion where whosoever shall find the magic ball in the ball pit will win a trip to, wait for it, to build this suspense. I see that was
you
a
did
note.
Not wait for it. There was a wait.
There was a note to myself in the script here. Shoot me in the head. Can we take it again from the top?
No, we only have so much tape, Zoltan. None the real to real. And we've been using the same tape for many commercials now, so I don't think we can erase it anymore.
Ah, fine. We keep
you're
going.
Idiot.
Should be a lot of suspense now anyway. Yes. Yes, you foolish. I mean, lovely Amerikansky. We will award whoever finds the magic ball with a free trip to, yes, you guess it right, the Black Sea.
Ooh, that's a very nice place. Yes.
Very good.
Very nice.
Do you know why they call it the Black Sea? Do you, Issa?
No.
No, of course.
Why do they call it that, the Black Sea? Why?
Because it was discovered at night. It was very dark, and then they said, this is a Black Sea. It is very black.
Just watch out for the Russian Navy at the moment. Stop it,
Issa.
No,
the Russian Navy is not anywhere near where you will be. Where we will be sending our unlucky winners. No.
What?
While we make every effort to lose your children in the bottomless ball pit, you and your significant other will be basking in the harmless rays on Sunny Beach, a well-known Black Sea resort in our sister country of Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, the land of sunflowers and, how you say, rose oil? What are you talking about?
That is the one.
I was actually named after the strong homemade plum brandy that the Bulgarians drink, you see. My parents conceived me after drinking an entire bottle of rakia one night in a Balkan campsite with the old man caretaker watching from behind bush.
That is very creepy.
What is creepy is that the caretaker became a family friend and is also my godfather. He always gives me long hug, too long. It becomes very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, my little Minsk.
Yes, this is very, bad. It almost makes me sorry for the way my brother and I always try to lure you into the ball pit. Sorry.
Don't feel sorry for Rakia. I am the mistress of the halls. I take care of myself and many others on a nightly basis.
What does that mean?
Yes,
I don't know what that means.
I do. Well, anyway, let's get back to the prize. On Sunny Beach, our lucky, did I say unlucky before? Our lucky wieners will enjoy 3 days and 6 nights and at a 2.5-star hotel with endless buffet breakfast and a limitless supply of tiny, thin towels for bathing and swimming in the hot mineral springs.
No matter how many towels you take, it is not enough to dry yourself or even to cover your unmentionables.
But that's okay, because clothing is optional on Sunny Beach. That is why it's called what? Sunny Beach. Many suns and moons you will see.
Unless you go at night when the Black Sea is truly in its element. Some yes. say if you close your eyes and wade into the waters up to your neck, you can sometimes feel the pull of history tugging at your feet, the lost souls of the past begging you to join them. It would be so easy, you think. And as you sink into the sand and the dark waters rise above your lips, you find the answers to the questions haunting all of mankind since the start of time.
Hey, Opa, Regina, are you okay? I'm starting to worry about you.
You're just starting now to worry about her, my brother. A church mouse couldn't be more blind.
Is the church mouse blind or is it quiet? I thought it was the dormouse, whatever that is, that is blind. But the church mouse has to be quiet when the people are saying their prayers.
You should be saying your prayers, brother. Praying that you will find a heart and a brain while you're at it. Idiot.
Don't you two worry about me. I have died and come back to life 6 times already.
Yes, yes. Zoltan, let's just move on with the commercial. This is depressing.
What does this mean? She has died and come back to life 6 times already. This is scaring me, Issa. What sort of half-sister are we dealing with here?
Zoltan?
Is she a vampire, perhaps?
Just finish the commercial. We are running out of tape. We're almost out of tape.
Okay, but I do not consider these matters settled. We will come back to this, just like I hope you will all come back to Zoltan and Issa and Mistress of the Night Rikia's bottomless ball pit. Come soon for a chance to win a trip to the Black Sea. Until next time, remember, if it's not bottomless, then it's not a ball pit worth throwing your kid into.
This is a very weird story.
Captain, we should be coming back within radio signal range of Guri within the next 22 carpecs or so.
Ah! This is no good! We're only going back in time 2 carpecs or so at a time. At this rate, it will take too long to go back in time far enough to actually formulate a plan with Guri.
We'll just have to hope he's doing some of his famous thinking on his feet.
He doesn't have any feet, though. Oh, this is a disaster.
Right, hence the usual outcome that leaves something to be desired. But maybe he'll stumble into something resembling ingenuity and competence. Should we cut away in the podcast now to where he is and let the listeners find out?
Yes, but how do we do that?
I think the narrator has helped us do that in the past.
Ah, right. Good thinking, Shipwood. Narrator? Narrator, where are you? He's always around when he's...
Sorry, I was in the loo, just freshening up after the commercial break, and also I think some of that old fruit in the canteen is going right through me.
What fruit in the canteen? There's nothing resembling fruit there, unless you mean the shrunken heads we took as trophies from the Kentaurians on our last trip to the Nogo sector.
Oh, my lord! I thought those were old pears.
are you okay?
I'll be okay. All right. Meanwhile, on the surface of Cloaca, Guri... Oh, no. Just cut to Guri. I'll be in toilet number 3.
Farid, I know you ingested a lot of moon dust recently. But try to focus for just a second here. You must have flown to oh my goodness! You must. I can't even speak. You must have
How
flown.
Are you tripping, man?
Well, no, I'm. I think I'm all right. Maybe some contact dust here. But you must have flown to Cloaca in a ship of some sort. Where is your ship?
Where isn't my ship, man? It's all around us. Can't you feel it?
No, I can't feel your ship all around us. This is getting nowhere. Look, we're just going to have to jump for it and hope we can reach the rendezvous point with Yuri and Shipward.
That's right. There's like zero gravity on this moon.
Well,
Well, not zero gravity, otherwise we wouldn't be standing on it.
No, but it's just about zero, man. We can just launch ourselves into space. No need for any boosters, although I will take a booster at that moon desk before we go. Just a little bit more here. All aboard the Nostril Express, huh? Who wants a ride on the Noggin Toboggan?
Oh, Furry, please. You're setting a very poor example for the children listening to this podcast right now.
The children? Well, how are they delectable little cherubs? I bet they're scrumptious. Come here, little ones. Uncle Farit. I got a little story to tell you here by this well. Take a seat and look down the well if you dare. What's that? You want a closer look?
Oh, my comets. We are just racking up the pathological behaviors now, aren't we, Farit? Seriously, you must get a hold of yourself.
Well, you first.
Me first what?
First to get a hold of yourself. Your tentacles are flying every which way. You look quite out of sorts.
Yeah, well, yes. Ever since the crash landing here on Cloaca, I'm not quite able to control the movements of my lower tentacles. I do fear they sustain some damage.
Brain damage? No, I doubt it. This stuff is fine. Here, take some.
Oh, that's it, Farit. I'm just leaving you here. Give me those tapes. I can stuff them into my parachute pants here. Just a little more room. The pockets are quite deep and expansive in these pants.
You're leaving me? Well, whoever shall I make fun of? Wait, that's not correct grammatically, I don't believe. Is it? Of whomsoever shall I make fun? But that sounds far too stilted.
Oh, shut up.
You know who was far too stilted? My Aunt Chamberlain. She got a pair of stilts for Christmas and was on them everywhere she went. Yeah, even at home, around the borough. Impossible for her to really get in and out of the borough. I mean, really, whilst on stilts. So she... Say, that sounds funny. Whilst on stilts. Oh, that would have been a great nickname for her. Whilst on stilts, Chamberlain.
What?
Like the famous basketball player. Or do you not follow sports?
Well, actually, we did try a podcast segment focused on Lurphian sports. And while it was quite popular around the universe, it was not as popular as our Spores Talk segment, which...
Gory! What? Gory! Is that you? If you're talking about our Spores Talk segment, it was, as I predicted, a very big hit in all the major markets across the universe. Who is that you're talking to? Are there other people there?
Oh, Captain Farit is here, although he's in no condition to...
Hello, Yuri. How's your latest foray into ineptitude going? Get it? I sort of made a play on the words of on the fortress of solitude idea there.
Oh, jeez, that didn't work very well. You're as high as a Zithrisian cloud over Pandora right now, and you shouldn't be attempting any wordplay, Farit.
Gory, stop your jabbering away down there and launch yourself towards the pickup window, which, by the way, is not the ship's window, as they say, as ship would inform me earlier, but rather the time and place.
You really need to get you need to get going now, Gurry. Jump in the direction of the Rom Nebula if you can. It should be about 11 o'clock in the cosmos above you.
Gurry can't tell time. You know that, Chipwood.
No,
time blind.
No, but I can spot the familiar stars of the Rom Nebula, shaped sort of like an old-fashioned lyre and surrounded by a blundersack.
Never mind what it looks like. Just jump for it. Jump!
Well, okay, but although I'm a bit weighed down here by all these backup tapes.
Oh, yes, I almost forgot to ask. So you did find the backup tapes then, yes?
Well, yes, but all unlabeled. So I just grabbed a bunch of them and we'll have to hope for the best.
Yes, well, you know how I run our missions, Gory. We always hope for the best, but we plan for the second best. Just in case things don't go quite as planned.
That's funny, well. Captain, because usually things go very far astray from the plan. Perhaps we should plan for something much worse than the best and plan for all the various contingencies.
Oh, no, we're not going to try that again. The last time we tried to plan for all possible contingencies, we got absolutely Nowhere. Nowhere.
Well, we survived, didn't we?
Yes, but no thanks to the ridiculous contingencies you made us sort through.
Guri, if you haven't jumped off the surface yet, you're not going to make it. But hold on. I'm getting a reading from a small crater near your location, I believe.
Ooh, a reading. I love a good reading. Like at a wedding, maybe from the Book of Isaiah. Like, what reading are you getting?
Not that kind of reading, Captain.
Oh.
I'm detecting periodic emissions of hot gases from a crater on the surface of Cloaca, just a carpeck or so away from you, Guri. Do you see it?
I'm looking at... Oh, yes, I saw a thermal blast just now.
Excellent. If you position yourself over the crater in between blasts, it should propel you toward the pickup window.
Again, not the ship's window, but the time and place, Guri.
I understand. I'm not a fool who needs things explained to me at least 3 times in a row before I grasp the concept.
What are you implying, Guri? That...
Oh, my stars, the smells coming from this crater are not good. Not good at all.
Gases expelled from Cloaca are known to be foul-smelling to the point of being toxic. So maybe hold your breath, Guri, when you position yourself for your jump.
Hold my... Oh, that's just great. You know I can't hold my breath for very long at all. That's why I always lose at bobbing for groggles.
I would have guessed your 3 heads would have been the main hindrance there.
Well, we used 3 buckets for that game on Meeporp, so that's not the problem. No, it's mostly my 3rd head who panics at the mere thought of holding his breath. Well, I do not. Oh, yes, you do. You do, Guarini. It's pretty obvious. So, you know, I'm tired of you two always ganging up on me.
Wait a minute. Hold on. All 3 of you, this seems like a very late point in our podcast to introduce the idea that our 3 heads can each speak and argue with each other. Writers, explain yourselves, or you must leave off this idea at once. Yeah, explain yourselves. Oh, my comments, not now one of my other heads is talking. Shut up.
Our other heads are often in a dormant state, assuming the personality and expressions of our central head, except for in high-stress situations or when specifically referenced in conversation, as my 3rd head was a moment ago. That's when our additional heads will start thinking and speaking for themselves.
Now, that makes sense.
What? It does not make sense. We've been in many high-stress situations during this podcast, usually a few times in each episode, I'd say, and we haven't heard 2 peeps from our peripheral heads in nearly 40 episodes. We've done 40 episodes? I'd say it's too late for our hack writers to suddenly spring this idea on the listeners, much less on us. I think it's a great idea.
Maybe it's called character development.
Yeah. Yes, that makes sense, Captain. Characters are supposed to develop over the course of a story or a series of stories.
They aren't supposed to develop new abilities.
Well, what if I were taking Spanish classes? Then I would be developing a new ability, wouldn't I?
Well, that is ridiculous. But fine. Let's just proceed. I can't quite see what we can do about it now anyway. We can't unsay or unhear the words our other heads have spoken. I wish.
It's going to make our scripts a bit more complicated.
Well, the other heads seem to have fallen silent for now, at least. So let's just get back to the storyline. Where were we, actually? I'm completely lost.
Guri was assuming the launch position over the crater on Cloaca and preparing to hold his breath.
Right. Breast? Okay.
He's holding his breast.
Breath, Captain.
Oh!
Remember, okay, I think I'm ready. I'm taking 1 last gasp of foul cloacan air now.
Isn't he wearing a spacesuit? None of this makes any sense. Aren't we wearing spacesuits?
I'm just expelling my breath here, not breathing in. Oh, no. Uh-oh. I need to breathe in again.
Don't do it, Guri. You're in a toxic cloud of cloacan gas. Don't do it. Hold that breath.
I have to.
Hold out just a bit longer, Guri, and the toxin should be dispersed enough. Your trajectory looks to be accurate, and we should meet you at the pickup window soon.
I'll throw open the curtains, Guri.
Not that window, Captain.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Can't resist breathing and have to do it now.
Gory, hang on. He's choking on the poison ship. He's choking on the poison.
I'm activating some reserve oxygen blast in his spacesuit now.
Gory, can you hear me?
He may need medical attention as soon as we bring him aboard, preparing to open the recovery hatch.
I'll alert Nurse Boop in the medical bay.
Hatch open. Guri is on path to enter it now. Okay, Guri secured. Hatch is closed. Decontamination commencing.
How are his vitals?
Physically, he seems okay. We'll have to see how the toxins impacted his mental functions.
Guri, can you hear me? Guri, come in. What's that? He's speaking nonsense. Is that his main head, or is that maybe one of his idiotic heads?
That's the main head. The other ones are making even less intelligible noises or just drooling.
Oh, Mother Comet, I haven't seen him like this since the last time I photon blasted him at the end of an episode. Sorry, don't worry, Guri. Nurse Boop will... She'll get you straightened out in a jiffy. Just hang on, Guri.
Boopity boof, boo, boofy boo.
Oh, God. This might be much worse than I thought.
What does the future hold in store for our favorite explorers? Will Guri regain his Meporpian senses? Will the backup tapes he retrieved from Cloaca help them return to Lurf in the time that they left it? Will we ever return to the main storyline that we left so many episodes ago? Find out next time on...
Greetings, Lurfling!
No, that's not right. No. I had it. I can do it one more time.
Hello? Somebody call me?
No. What? No, I think it's over, Athene. I think you missed it.
Oh, no. What's wrong?
We did the announcer. He sort of ended it already.
Oh, I always miss fun episode. Not fair. Theme very depressed.
Well, Theme, this must have happened to you before. I mean, you are Theme. You know, you do come typically at the very last words on the page of the script. This is not new to you.
Me, Theme, doing much TV these days.
Oh.
So, multi-series, me, Theme, come in at end of episode, but next episode, always continue plot.
Oh, right.
Theme not missed.
Or maybe you, at the end of the Marvel movies, when there's always those extra scenes, you expect a lot of more dialogue or something.
Oh, yes. Theme loved those. Theme also big into blooper wheels. Not blooper wheels, blooper wheels. Yes. Also blooper wheels. Theme liked both those things.
Like failed car designs, maybe.
Yes.
I think...
What Theme miss? Theme miss anything in episode?
No, nothing much. I almost died. We'll have to see if I survive next time. I guess.
Theme thinks...
Had a hard time on...
Theme thinks Guri will definitely die.
I was...
If Guri die, Theme take over... Your part?
No. I think I'm got a contract for at least another year, and I think they picked up my extension.
Shipboard, me do audition for Guri, okay? Let me try.
All right.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Look me, Guri.
That is horrible. That is...
Oh, my comet. Oh.
I mean, at least that was... intelligible. It's just not where we left him. So, you know.
You left Guri somewhere?
Where the episode ended.
Yes, anyone can imitate me after a photon blast. It's who can imitate me at the top of my powers and senses? Nobody. That's the answer.
Have you ever been at top of powers and senses?
The amusement park off of Tui?
Oh, yes. That good one.
Powers and senses. Open.
Yes.
Till midnight. It turns out there's a lot of dialogue after the ending here.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Theme, very good at dragging on episode. Dragging on
that was,
until...
That was your cue for my old friend.
Yeah, this part says ad lib, but there's actually a lot of dialogue in the ad lib. It's kind of weird.
It's just
is it dialogue or is it
notes, really? Scripted? Some hints, you know.
Oh,
really specific, though.
Oh, yes. I stopped paying attention because Thee never learned to read. But did you say my old friend coming?
Yeah, Dialagoo.
Dialagoo, oh, Dialagoo, such a good friend. He cousin of Epilagoo and Prolagoo.
Yes.
There was also Manalagoo, who was always off on his own.
Oh, yes.
Black sheep of family. But there are lots of other Lagoo cousins, too. Travelagoo, always off on some adventure. Catalagoo, always at the library.
Catalagoo is out of work these days, isn't he?
Oh, Catalagoo, very depressed. Catalagoo is hate internet.
Replaced by the computer.
Yes, yeah, he's very upset.
Didn't keep up with the times at all.
He actually engaged to a recipe book.
Many people sell those old card catalogue furniture pieces, and people buy them for some reason. But what do they do with them? It seems like a good idea at the time, and then you have it in your house, and you're like, what do I put in this?
You put in your CDs and DVDs, which also be ready to go throw away very soon.
Right. It's a repository of...
Oh, yes, you can put suppository in there. Very good. Also, good place for cookies. Ah, cookies. You can have all different kinds. You can have cookies organized alphabetically.
Oh, by, yes.
Say, I look for macadamia nut. I say, I do not know where macadamia nut is.
Under M-A.
M-A, exactly. Or if I look for chocolate chip Toehouse cookie, either under C-H or T-O, both would be cross-reference.
So,
eat that, Google.
And there's a cookie in each place.
Yes. Well, I might put half cookie in
after you eat house. Yes. What happens when you eat the cookie? Who keeps this cookie? The cookie catalog who's stocked?
Well, it's a problem because sometimes cookie crumble. But I just say, oh well,
that's the way.
That cookie crumble.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. Yes. There might be some other better expression there, but I can't think of it.
Oh, I don't know if there's any other cousins. I couldn't think of any. Travelagoo, Catalagoo. I think that's it.
Yeah, I don't. All my cousins are very old now.
Well, there's just the lagu for the part of a tree.
Oh, yes. Yes.
There's that one cousin of yours who's very contagious and very sick. Plagoo.
Oh, Plagoo, yes. He's terrible. He was a black sheep of family. Oh, he's sick. Yes, we play that for him every time he come over. Terrible, terrible, terrible man.
There's your Italian chef cousin, Ragu.
We love Ragu.
Yeah, I know that doesn't really go along with the spelling thing.
I also have a very distant cousin who sometimes good if we ever need to, like, get from one topic to another, Segu.
Oh, Segu.
Yes. Yeah. He has a street named after him called Segu Way.
Oh, okay. He's that famous.
So famous.
Yeah. It never gets boring around him. It's always, you know, something new happening.
Always something new. You say one thing, he's like, speaking of ragu, I love tomato sauce. And speaking of cookie, what's it going to do?
Trying to write the ballad of the lagu.
Is that a fugu?
Oh. Yeah.